For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is October the 25th. Okay. And we are in Malachim Bezer and Perek Yud, chapter 10. So Yehu ben Nimshi is in the process of completing his rebellion and destroying Ahab's family, which is according to what Hashem wants. But he's not quite finished yet. So the Navi continues. Ula Ahav Shivim Banim Bishomron. Ahav had 70 children in Shomron. They could be children and grandchildren, descendants. It's not, you know. Vayichtov Yehu Svarim. So Yehu wrote, he wrote scrolls. These are messages. Vayishlach Shomron, and he sent them to Shomron. Now, Shomron is the capital, so it's the seat of government. El Sare Yisrael Hazakenim, to the government officials, the elders of Yisrael. Ve'el ha'omnim Achav, and those who were the caretakers for Achav's family, Lamar sang. Ve'ata, and now, kivoa sefer azal lechem, when this message, this scroll comes to you, v'itchem b'nei adonechem, and with you are the children of your master, meaning the children of Achav, v'itchem harechev hasusim, you also have the chariots, you have the horses, so you have the army. Vir Mivtsar, you're in a fortified city. Vehanashek, and the weapons. You're very protected over there. Urisa Matova Yashem Ibn Adonechem, and you will see who is good and who is best, who is straight in the children of your master. Visamtem Al Kise Aviv, and you're going to put one of them as on the throne of his father. Meaning, now that Yehoram ben Achav is dead, so there has to be a successor to the throne. And since you're there in the government, in the seat of power, you have the children of Achav with you. You have a fortified city with the army, with the weapons and everything. So you're going to place somebody on the throne, a successor. V'ilachamu al beis adonechem, and you will wage war on behalf of the master, of the house of your master. In other words, I'm rebelling. You're in a position to stand up against me. What you'll do is you'll put one of the descendants of Achav on the throne, and then you'll fight in his name against me. That's what you'll do. So that's what he sent to them, because he wanted to see what the reaction would be to that. You know, this is a challenge. Is this what you plan on doing? So the pasuk tells us they received. It doesn't say this, but they received the message, and they said as follows: Vayiru ma'od ma'od. They were very scared. Vayomru, they said to each other, Hinei shneha malachim lo amdu lefanav. Two kings did not stand in front of him. He already killed Yehoram, the son of Achav, and Yehoachaz, or Achaziah, the son of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, of David's line. Ve'ech namod anachnu. How are we going to be able to stand up against him? So they perceived him as being very powerful. Now remember, we already learned in the last parak that Yehoash did this rebellion without the wherewithal to win. He shouldn't have won. But obviously Hashem is at work, and the Navi tells us Hashem is making it happen. So he is constantly meeting with success, either with people joining him or with people just giving up, and here people being very scared of him. So, pasuk verse 5, Vayishlach Asher al Abayis, Vasher al Ir, Vazakenim, Vaomnim. So the elders and the caretakers, and the one who was in charge of the palace, and the one who was in charge of the city, the governor, they sent El Yehu to Yehu, Lamar, to say, Avadach anachnu, we are your servants. Whatever you tell us, we will do. Lo namlich ish, we will not crown anybody as king. We will not make a successor to Achav. Hatov beinecha asei, do what is good in your eyes. we're with you. Whatever you want to do, we're ready. Vayichtov aleihem sefer shenis lehemar. So then he wrote to them another, a second scroll, a second message, saying, Im liatem, if you're with me, ulukoliatem shomem, and you're listening to my voice, kechu es rashei anshei b'nei adonechem, take the heads of the men of the sons of your master, meaning just the heads. Cut off their heads.
Cut
off their heads, yes. Uvo elai kais machar Yisrael, and come to me tomorrow to Yisrael. Uvnei amelech shivimish, and I know that the sons of the king are 70 men. Es gedolei yair migadlim osam, along with the important people of the city who are raising them. I know their number. In other words, you're not going to be able to get away with it to bring me, let's say, 15 heads and claim that these are everybody. I know there are 70. Vayihi, and it was, kivo hasefer aleim, when they got this message, vayikhu es bnei ha-melech, they took the sons of the king, vayishchatu shivim ish, and they slaughtered all 70 men. They did it, exactly what Yehu told them to do. Vayasimu es rashim badudim, they put their heads in baskets, Vayishlechu elav Yisrael, they sent them to him, to Yehu, in Yisrael. So again, this is unnatural. It shouldn't be so easy. It's easy. Yehu is systematically wiping out Ahaz's family, taking over the country with barely firing a shot. He's just smashing through with no real strength to speak of. And he's just taking over the country. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Vayavo ha-malach, the messenger came. The word malach can mean a messenger. Messenger came. Vayaged lo lemar, and told Yehu, saying, Heviu rashei v'nei ha-melach, they brought the heads of the children of the king. Vayomer, so he said, Simu osam shnei tziburim, put them as two piles, Pesach hashar, at the entrance of the gate of Shomron, ad haboker, until morning. So this is a pretty morbid thing, but put a gruesome thing, put these heads as two piles of severed heads at the gate of Shomron. Vahiva boker, it wasn't the morning. Vayetse vayamod, and he came out and he stood. He, Yehu, came out and he stood. Vayomer al kol ha'am, he said, he called out to all of the nation in Shomron. Tzadikim atem, you are tzadikim, meaning you're not part of this rebellion. Hine ani kasharti al adoni v'ehergehu. I rebelled against my master and killed him. Umihikas koleila. But who killed all these 70 people? You, the people of Shomron, you're claiming not to be part of my rebellion. You're saying you're tzaddikim, you would never do such a thing. I killed Achav. Well, Achav was already there, but I killed Yehoram ben Achav. I admit that. But who killed these 70 people? I didn't do it. It wasn't me. How'd they get killed? Du'u efo. No. Now. Ki lo yipo midvar Hashem arza. That no part of what Hashem said will fall to the ground, which means no part will go unfulfilled. Ashidiber Hashem al beis Achav. That Hashem spoke about the house of Achav. Vashem asa. And Hashem did es ashidiber biad avdo Eliyahu, that which he spoke in the hands of his servant Eliyahu. Says Yehu, these severed heads should prove to you that Hashem is making this happen. And resistance means you are going against Hashem. Hashem is not interested anymore in putting up with this mishigas of Achav's. If you're going to side with Achav's family, you're going to get killed. You look what happened to these 70 people. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't kill them. They were safely in Shomron. How did they get killed? You see, Hashem is out to destroy Achav's family. Give up. Join me, and you can be safe. If you don't, you're going to be finished. And this is all accurate. He's not making this up. This is exactly the point that we just made before. How easy it is for Yehu to simply walk in and destroy everybody. That is what he's pointing out to them. And that's the example he made out of the 70 children of Achav. Vayach Yehu es kol anisharim leveis Achav b'Yisrael. Yehu struck down all of those who remained from the house of Achav in Yisrael. V'chol gedolav umiyudaav v'chol hanav, and all of his great ones, and all of those who knew who he was friendly with, and all of his priests. Ad viltihi shalosh sa'id, until there was nothing left. They were totally wiped out. Vayakam. Okay, so phase one, Achav's family is finished, but he's not done yet. Vayakam vayavo, the two more phases. Vayakam vayavo vayelech Shomron. So he got up and he came and he went into Shomron. Now he's in the capital, the city of power. Hu beis eker haroim badar. He was as far as this. There was a way station for shepherds on the road. He was coming into Shomron, and on the way in, there's a you know, a rest stop for shepherds. Right, exactly. So he found he was up there. V'yehu matza esachei Achaziyahu melech Yehuda. And lo and behold, Yehu bumps into the brothers of Achaziyahu, the king of Yehuda. Now he killed Achaziyahu, the king of Yehuda, and these are Achaziyahu's brothers. In Divrei Hayamim it says, B'nei Achei Achaziyahu melech Yehuda, the sons of the brothers, because the brothers of Achaziyahu were really killed earlier by the enemies of the Jewish people who conquered Yehuda during the time of Achaziyahu, who was such a Rasha. During the time of Yehoram, his father, who was a Rasha. So, yeah, Achaziyahu was also a Rasha. So his brothers really are, by and large, dead. Therefore, the Pasuk in Devarim says these were his nephews. But they were in the line of David HaMelech. They would have been eligible for the throne, because they were the nephews of the kings. They're the king's brother's sons, which means they are grandsons of the previous king. So they really could have been heirs to the throne. So he runs into them now in Shomron. Vayomer, so he said to them, Miatem, who are you? They looked like chash of a people. They looked like important people. I said, who are you? Vayomer, they said, Achei Achazyo anachnu. We are the brothers of Achazyo. Vanered lishlom b'nei hamelech. And we came down to see the peace of the children of the king. We came to see how everybody's doing. Ubinei ha-gevira, and the children of the great woman. What great woman are they talking about? Izebel. That was the wrong thing to say, right? We're here to see how's Izebel doing? How are children doing? That was a big mistake. So they clearly stated whose side they were on. They were obviously unaware of all the carnage that's going on. And they innocently said, we're here to see, you know, we're here to check in on Achav's family and Izebel. Vayomer. So Yehu said, Tifsum Chaim, catch them alive. Vayispesum Chaim, they caught them alive. And then, Vayishchatum El Bor Beis Eker, he slaughtered them at the pit of this Beis Eker, of this way station. Arbaim Mushnaim Ish, 42 men, Vlohishir Ish Mehemi, did not leave anybody over. So we further now see the destruction, not only of Achav's family, but of David HaMelech's family. Because now we have seen that, first of all, Yehoram's sons, other than Achaziyahu, were killed already before. Achaziyahu himself has been killed. And now Achaziyahu's nephews are killed. So there's very little left. As we'll see, we're getting very close to having no heirs to the throne in Malchus Beis David. Now, with Achav, we also have no heirs to the throne. But that's okay, because Hashem is wiping out Achav's family. Yehu is a new dynasty. It's a new one. We were done with Yeravam. We're done with Basha. We're done with Achav. We have a new dynasty, Yehu. It's a brand new dynasty. So Achav's family is totally wiped out. But David HaMelech's family, that can't be all wiped out, because Mashiach comes from David HaMelech's family. So that can't happen. But it's getting precariously close, and it's going to get worse. Okay. Now, before that stage two, we have one more stage of Yehu's complete consolidation of the kingdom. Before we do that, 42 nephews or brothers or relatives of these are the would-be heirs to the throne are killed here by Yehu. When is the last time we had a reference to 42 people being killed?
At the river?
What do you mean at the river?
When the two sides were there and then they fought each other. How many were there?
I don't know if it says 42
over there.
Right, I remember the story. I don't remember if it says 42 over there. I don't think this is 42.
I'm just guessing.
I don't think this is 42. But we had it. We had it.
How many relatives of David were in the curse?
That I don't know. That's also a good question. But I want to show you where we had 42 people being killed. Yeah, of course. Yeah, this is all. It's not an open miracle, but it's obviously the hand of Hashem. You can't miss it. What's happening over here? If you look in Perek Beis of Melachim Beis, the end of the second chapter, we have the story. When I wrote that chart before Sukkot about the loose ends, I left this one out. But this one is the one that I had said we're going to get back to, and then I forgot to get back to it. And an avid listener pointed out to me, that was what Dr. Brent had pointed out, we missed coming back to it. This is also going to tie in. Well, if you look back at the end over here, when Elisha was returning, and there were some men who came out, and young men who came out and cursed Elisha, and they made fun of Elisha. They said, Alei Kerech, Alei Kerech, come up the bald one, come up the bald one. And then at the very end over there, Pasuk Chavdal, verse 24, Vayif and Acharav, he turned behind them, Vayirem, he saw them, Vayekalalim b'shem Hashem, he cursed them in Hashem, Vatetzena shtayim dubim minayar, two bears came out of the forest. Remember we said it was a nes b'soch nes. There had been no forest there. The forest grew up and bears came out instantaneously. Vativakana mehem, and they killed from them, they tore apart from them, Arboim Ushnei Yeladim, 42 young men. Remember, why 42? So, actually, I'm not even sure if we got to why 42, but the reason why 42 got killed is because of another episode in which there were 42 of something. And I'm only going to go this far. I'll tell you what that episode is. But then we're going to drop this for the time being. And Pauline Eder, this time I'm going to remember, Pauline Eder, we're going to come back to this also. As we tie all the pieces together, this is another line to keep in mind, another string of events to keep in mind. And that is that back in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Bilaam tried to curse the Jewish people, so he tried to curse the Jewish people how many times? How many times did he try? He tried three times. Each time he told Balak, the king of Moab, he told Balak that you should build
seven altars
and bring up on each altar.
Seven.
No.
Must be six.
No, to bring up on each altar two karbanos. Right. Par v'ayil. Bring on each altar a bull and a ram. For a total of 14, 2 times 7, 14. 14 times 3 is 42. Balak brought 42 karbanos on those mizbechos in order to merit cursing the Jewish people. It didn't work. In the end, they were turned into brachos. Not only that, the Gemara derives from here that la'olam yasok adam b'torah mitzvos shalom lishma, a person should always be involved in Torah mitzvos, even not for the name of Hashem, shalom lishma, really you're supposed to do Torah mitzvos purely for the sake of heaven. That's the highest level. We're not on that level. We have many motivations of why we do things. We want to fit in. We want pleasure, whatever it is. But ultimately, the best reason is for the sake of Hashem. But the Gemara says you should always do things even not l'shem Hashem, even not l'shem Shamayim, shemitoch shalo lishma ba lishma. Because if you start not for the name of Hashem, eventually you'll come to do it for the name of Hashem. It's a good start. It's a good way to do it. So the Gemara learns from here that because of these 42 karbanos, Balak merited, and from him comes, hint, David HaMelech, Rus, comes from Balak. Balak has Eglon, and Eglon has Rus. Rus comes from Balak in the merit of these 42 karbanos. A good thing accrued to him for the karbanos, because they were karbanos. He brought karbanos to Hashem. They were karbanos. So Rus comes about through the karbanos. However, However, because he was really trying to curse the Jewish people, says the Gemara that the expression of cursing the Jewish people is found here with these young men who made fun of Elisha, and Elisha cursed them, and they were killed. Now, the Gemara takes Elisha to task for cursing them. Elisha is generally praised for just about everything, but in this particular case, he is criticized. We, of course, could Chas v'Shalom never criticize Elisha, but Chazal do. They criticize Elisha for doing this, and they say that he was punished for it. But the fact of the matter is, these 42 people acting the way they did, acting with chutzpah, and speaking negatively towards the head Navi, the great Navi, the one who, remember, people were afraid to even, the Shunamis was afraid to even walk into the room where he was because of how powerful Elisha was. They spoke about him in a disparaging manner. So they were killed. How did we have 42 people behaving like that? That comes from Balak. Balak's karbonos, which were really out to get the Jewish people, this is where it finds expression over here. Now we have to explain why. That's not for tonight. However, here we have 42, same number, of David HaMelech's descendants, who are also descendants of Rus, correct, are killed out here. The number is too exact to be coincidental. And the fact that it's Balak and that it's Rus is too much of a coincidence. So that is going to tie together as we bring together all the different storylines that we brought up before. This is going to be another one of them. So only I'm starting us off. As you hear some of the details, we will, though, develop. Leonard, we're going to develop this further as we go. Yeah.
I just have a lot of questions coming up here. When he writes a letter, he says, your master, when he knows that the person's dead and that they, you know, he doesn't want them to serve.
Yeah, well, they know he's dead also. He means that you're serving your master posthumously. Now, you're going to crown one of his descendants as king.
Okay, and then when he says that he didn't kill them, well, that's almost like saying, my wife, you know, when he said, I didn't kill those men, then the wife was the one that gave him the idea. Now, she said, that's a blaming thing.
No. He's not trying.
He's the one that told them to kill.
He's not trying to not take responsibility. He's trying to show them what we've talked about. He's trying to show them there's no reason why they should have been killed just because I said so.
That's different than saying I didn't kill them.
No, that's what he means to say. He's saying, how did it happen? I didn't do it.
But
he's not trying to avoid responsibility. It's not what he's trying. He's trying to show them it shouldn't have happened.
I'm still having issues with that.
Okay.
And then I thought you were supposed to bury someone and not have them go till the next morning. And here he leaves them by the gates and doesn't bury them. Doesn't even say if he buries them at all.
Yeah.
But certainly not till the next morning.
He's only got the heads. He didn't have the bodies.
Anyway, for Rishayman to make a point, we have before that they were left. You know, Yisevel was left on the field. They're not treating them with dignity. They're not supposed to.
Yeah. Okay. And when they said that he shouldn't have cursed the 42, did they say what he should have done with them?
Yeah, we're going to discuss that.
Kind of like with David, when he didn't rebuke the guy who was rebuking him, he said it must come from God. Is that what we should do when someone's...
Oh, you want to know what happens if someone's cursed? Yeah, well, they weren't cursing him. They were making fun of him. So they did deserve a punishment, but he shouldn't have cursed. He should have let Hashem punish them.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have gotten involved in that. But yeah. Back to Perek Yod, Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayelech Misham, he went from there. Yehu went from there. Vayimtza es Yehonadav ben Rechav likraso. And he found Yehonadav ben Rechav to greet him. You'll say, who is Yehonadav ben Rechav? Have we ever had him before? So we'll get to that in a minute. Vayavarechehu, he gave him a bracha. Vayomer Elav, and he sent him, Hayesh es levavcha yashar ka'asher levavi im levavecha, is your heart straight like my heart is with your heart? Meaning, are you with me the same way I'm with you? This is what Yehu says to Yonav ben Rechav. I feel like we are a partnership. We share a kinship. we share a purpose. Are you thinking the same thing? Vayomer Yehonadav, yesh vayesh. Yes, and yet, there is. Tanais yadecha, give me your hand. Vayiten yado, so he gave him his hand. Vayaleu elav el amerkava, and he pulled him up to him to the chariot. So now they're on the chariot together. Yehonadav ben Rechav and Yehu. Now Yehu is becoming king. Who is Yehonadav ben Rechav? So Yehonadav ben Rechav is a descendant of Yisro. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Bahaloscha, one of the many things that happens in Parshas Bahaloscha is that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yisro, "Come with us, stay with us." But Yisro says, "No, I'm not going to stay with you." And he goes. But Moshe Rabbeinu told him that if you come with us, we will be good to you. We'll do good with you. The same, whatever Hashem does good for us, we'll do good for you. So Rashi brings from Chazal, Ma tova hitivu lo. What good did he do for Yisro? Because he said to him, we're going to do for you what Hashem does for us. So what good did they do for him? Now remember, a ger, a convert, does not have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be Jewish at the time when we entered Eretz Yisrael, when we left Mitzrayim, in order to get a portion of the land of Eretz Yisrael. So a convert doesn't get one. Yisro was a convert. So therefore, he does not get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazal tell us, what good did they do for him? Amru, so they said, Kishal Yisrael mechalkim es ha'aretz. When Klal Yisrael was giving out the land, Hayadushna shal Yericho, there was the area of Yericho, Tuf Kuf Amal, which was 500 Amas by 500 Amas, which remember, Yehoshua had it destroyed, and they were not allowed to rebuild Yericho. Now Yericho does get rebuilt. By whom?
The guy who lost all 10 sons.
Right, which was in whose day? Achav. It's all part of Achav. Right? Chil Beis Eli is the time of Achav. That's where Elio first takes away the rain. So this area of Yericho was 500 Amos by 500 Amos. Vinichuhu milachlok. They did not give it out to anybody. They left that, not giving it out to anybody in Eretz Yisrael. Amru, they said, Mishi yabana Beis HaMikdash b'chalko, whoever has the Beis HaMikdash built in his portion, which means he's going to lose part of his land because it's going to be used for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, you may be very happy about that, but the fact of the matter is, you still lose some land for your own use. Hu yitlenu, he'll get that area. This area will replace the area of the Beis HaMikdash, which, by the way, indicates a link between the area of Yericho and the Beis HaMikdash. There is a discussion about that.
The Beis HaMikdash is on two of the lands, two of the tribes.
True. Yeah, but they didn't know exactly where it was going to be. So this is what they said. It was only later, David HaMelech and Shmuel HaNavi figured out the exact location of the Beis HaMikdash. But that was later. So
it's not totally in Binyamin.
It's the most holiest parts are in Binyamin, but part of it is in Yehuda also. So, but that's not what ended up happening. They did not give it to any individual whose portion was used for the Beis HaMikdash. Ubenkach, nisanuhu, in the end, they gave it to Libnei Yisro, to the descendants of Yisro. They gave Dushna Shel Yericho, this area, to the descendants of Yisro.
Who gave it? Who's the
they? The Klal Yisro. I mean, I don't know exactly who makes the decision, but, right? To whom? Leonadav ben Rechav. This is Rashi in Parshas Bahaloscha. They gave it to Yonadav ben Rechav.
So he could rebuild it and wouldn't be.
No. He wasn't going to rebuild Yericho. Dushna Yericho really means the area near Yericho. It's like the open area. It's not the city itself. The city itself was raised and you weren't allowed to rebuild it, but it was rebuilt. But the open area, right, near Yericho, that was given to Yonadav ben Rechav, who is a descendant of Yisro. So now we know a few things about Yonadav ben Rechav. We know that he's a descendant of Yisro. We know that his land is right there next to Yericho or with Yericho, which means that the whole drama with Chil Beis Ha'eli rebuilding Yericho and Eliyahu taking away the rain, that's right near his portion, although he may have been born a little bit later than that, but that's where that's his area. And we also know that that area was supposed to have gone to the person who lost land for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and instead it was given to someone who really doesn't deserve to have land because he's a ger, and it was given because of Yisro's chesed with the Jewish people. One of his descendants or his descendants get land that other gerim don't get.
But he's not a ger. He just doesn't have a shevet.
Right. He's a descendant of gerim.
But he's not a ger
himself. Right, right, right. Yeah, but that means a ger and all his future descendants don't have a portion of Eretz Yisrael.
They don't have a shevet.
Right. The men. The women can marry into, right, but the men never get.
To eternity.
Yeah, because they don't have. The question is, the third base HaMikdash, what's going to happen then? That's a separate discussion. But the thing is, we now have some information about Yonadav ben Rechav. We're not going to know much else about him now. He doesn't play a significant role here other than being the companion of Yehu. This is Yehu's show. This is not Yonadav ben Rechav's show, but he is acting as a companion to Yehu. That will become significant later, but not tonight.
Was he go there to try to meet Yehu?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if it was by chance. It seems like he... Yeah, it seems like he tried. He went there to meet him. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like...
What about his mother's name? You don't see that often. Rechav.
It's probably his father's name. Rechav. It's probably his father's name. Probably.
Or wasn't... She was white?
Yeah, Rechav. That's spelled with a ches.
Thank you.
Yeah. Different person.
The English.
Okay. Pasuk Yud Tezayin, verse 16. Vayomer, so Yehu said, L'chayiti, come with me. Ure'ei b'kinasi la'Hashem, see how I am zealous for Hashem. Vayakivu oso b'richbo, and they rode with him, or in his chariot. Vayavo Shomron, so now they come into Shomron. Shomron is now ready to accept Yehu. Vayachas kol anisharim la'achav b'shomron adi shmido, and he struck all the remaining people of Achav until they were destroyed. Kidvar Hashem asher dibar Eliyahu, like the word of Hashem that he spoke to Eliyahu. So Shomron is now totally, Achav's sins are destroyed. Vayikbots, but now here's, but there's one more thing he has to do. Vayikbots Yehu es kolam, Yehu gathered all the nation. Vayomar lehem, he said to them, Achav avanas habal ma'at. Achav served the Baal a little bit. Yehu yavdenu harbe. But Yehu will serve him a lot. This is a ruse. Yehu is trying to set up. What he needs to do right now is completely eradicate the Baal. The Baal was the primary Avodah Zarah of Achav, and it is pervasive. It is all over the place in Eretz Yisrael. And Yehu, as part of his job of wiping out Achav's family, it's also to completely eradicate the Baal from Eretz Yisrael. But he has to flesh them out. Where are these people? Where are those who are the servants of the Baal? So therefore, he is going to make a massive Avodah Zarah gathering for the Baal on the pretext that he is going to lead the service. Because you think, Achav, worship the Baal. I'll show you what it means to worship the Baal. Yehu will do a much better job.
But like you said, it's quite clear that Hashem is with him and that things are coming easily. So somebody could think mistakenly, oh, well, if he's following that deity, that must be the correct deity.
Yeah, but wait till you got to see what happens. You're right. The person couldn't think that. But
exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Let's see what happens. Okay. Ve'ata and now, kol nevi'ei ha'Baal, all the servants of the Baal, kol avadav, all who serve it, v'chol kohanav, and all of its priests, kiru elai, call them to me, ish ali pakeh, no man shall be missing. Ki zevach kol doli la'Baal, I have a great sacrifice to the Baal. Kol asher yipakeh, anybody who is left out, lo yichel, will not live. He didn't just ask them to come. He threatened them. If you don't show up, if you are a priest of the Baal and you don't show up, you are dead. Yehu asa be'akva. So the Navi tells us explicitly, Yehu did this in trickery. Leman havid is of the Baal in order to wipe out those who serve the Baal. Now remember, if you are a faithful servant of Hashem, you will not do this even at the pain of death, because it's Avodah Zarah. And Avodah Zarah you have to give up your life for.
What happens if they're young and stupid?
Vayomer Yehu. Yehu said, Kadshu at Sarah Labal, call
To sanctify.
Thank you. Sanctify. Good. Sanctify a holiday for the Baal. Vayikro. They called out. That's what they did. Vayishlachayu b'chol Yisrael. Yehu sent to all of Eretz Yisrael. Vayavo kol of the Baal. All the servants of the Baal came. V'lunishar isha shaloba. There was nobody left who did not come. Vayavo beis Baal. They came to the house of the Baal. Vayimolei beis Baal pe la pe. And the house of the Baal was filled from mouth to mouth. The place was packed solid. This was the major temple of the Baal, completely packed with its followers. Vayomer la asher al hameltacha. And he said to the one in charge of the meltacha. Meltacha is the one in charge of the garments of the those who serve. Hotzei levush l'chol of the Baal. Take out clothing for all those who serve the Baal. Vayotzei lahem hamalbush. He brought out the clothing. So they had clothing that they wore, special clothing. He had him put it on. Vayavo Yehu, Vionadov ben Rechav beis Habaal. So Yehu and Yonadov ben Rechav came to the house of the Baal. Vayom lo of the Baal. And he said to those servants of the Baal, Chapsu, search, Uru and see, pen yesh po imachem, me'avde Hashem. I want you to look around. Maybe there's someone here who is not a servant of the Baal, but instead is a servant of Hashem. Kim ovdei ha-Baal of Adam. I only want those who serve the Baal. So here, he made them self-select. This is how he weeded out those who really shouldn't be there, because he was concerned for the same thing that Mrs. Lewis was concerned about, that maybe there's somebody here who got swept up by the whole thing, or out of fear, or whatever it is, and showed up. Well, they thought, the servants of the Baal thought, this is going to be something which is a celebratory time for the people of the Baal, and they are going to be elevated to higher status. So they weren't going to let someone in who, until now, you can't jump on the bandwagon now. If you weren't part of us before, get out. And that's what he did. He set it up that way that they would self-select and throw out anybody who didn't belong there, which, of course, because he doesn't want to kill people who don't belong there. He only wants to kill those who are so zealous about it that they're even throwing other people out of the building.
Women never worship the Baal?
I'm sure women did worship the Baal, but it seems to be that that the priests are men.
These were all the priests.
Yeah, that's what he's looking for over here. But there's a lot of them.
This would have caused civil war between them. Totally, right?
Yeah, you imagine. Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
You touch on the pain of death. You don't know where the two go, even though
they're
not
a follower. Okay.
Stay home.
All right. Well, here's what happens. Chavdal 24. They came to do sacrifices and burnt sacrifices. V'yehu sam lo bachutz shmonim ish. Yehu had planted outside the building 80 men. Vayomer. And he said to the 80 men, Ha'ish Hashem aleit mina anashim, any man that escapes from the men, Ashani mevi al yadechem, that I'm going to bring to your hands, nafsho tachas nafsho, his soul is in place of his soul. In other words, if any of you let anybody go, you're dead. The only way that you 80 people are going to survive is if you make sure nobody in this building gets out alive. If anybody gets away, then I'm replacing that death with you. Vayihin it was, kichalosola sosaola. When he finished doing the sacrifice, Vayomer Yehu laratzim v'lashalishim, Yehu said to the runners and to the officers, to the soldiers, Bo hakum, come and strike them. Ish al yetzei, no man should get out. Vayakum lefi charev, they struck them by the sword. Vayashlichu haratzim v'ashalishim, and the ratzim, the runners and the soldiers, threw them down. Vayelchu ad ir beis habal, and they went all the way to the city of the beis habal. Apparently, there was a city also that was primarily the beis habal, and they killed everybody in this building and in that city area. Vayutziu es matzvos beis habal, they took out the icons of the beis habal. Vayisrafuha, and they burned it. Vayititsu es matzvas habal, they cut down, they knocked down the I guess that would be the altar. The monuments, okay, of the Baal. Vayititsu es beis habal, and they knocked down the house of the Baal. Vayisimu limo chra limotzaos. And they made it into a bathroom.
They served the ball with
Ballpark. Arayom, until today, it is an outhouse. That's what it says that it is. When this Navi was written, it was an outhouse. Vayashmed Yehu es Habal Miyisrael. Yehu completely destroyed the Baal from Yisrael. This is an unbelievable thing because it was so pervasive and he literally wiped it out. Completely wiped it out. Yep. Yeah, he killed them all out. This is still, Hashem is at work over here.
A very bloody corruption.
We had said that Hashem told Eliyahu, whoever escapes Elisha will be killed by Yehu, and whoever escapes Yehu will be killed by Chazal. This is all retribution for Achav. There's a lot of punishment going on. This is what we're going to have to tie together. This is part of what said. This is the terrible calamity that is befalling Klal Yisrael. Both the northern and southern kingdoms are going to get it over here. So, but the Navi says, "Rak chatoi Yerava ben Avad asher hechet yes Yisrael." Only the sins of Yerubbaal ben Nevat that he caused the Jews to sin. Lo sar Yehu me'achareim. Yehu did not turn away from them, which is Egle Hazav asher Beisel v'asher v'dan, the golden calves that were in Beisel and in Dan. Those Yehu did not eradicate. He left those. He did not carry out that destruction. He did get rid of the Baal. All that Achav did, he undid, which is great. He did not undo the damage of Yerubbaal. Vayomer Hashem al Yehu, Hashem said to Yehu, Yana asher hativosa lasos hayasher be'inai, because you did good to do what is straight in my eyes. Kechol asher bovavi asisa beis Achav, everything that I thought of, you did to beis Achav. You, Yehu, did what you're supposed to do. Therefore, b'nei revi'im yesh v'lecha kisei Yisrael, you will have four generations sitting on the throne of Yisrael. You will merit, you and your children, and your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, will be kings over Klal Yisrael. That is your reward for doing what I asked you to do. So Yehu is riding high. He's doing great. He did what Hashem wanted him to do, which is not easy to do. I mean, this is carnage. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on over here. And he does it. He does it without any
hesitation,
and without any need. Any. There's no. He doesn't have the power to succeed. He knows. This is all Hashem. Hashem wants it to happen. It's going to happen. He understands that. He just totally trusts.
But he's still smart about the way he's going about it.
He's doing his shtetlus. But even the smart really shouldn't have been successful. There's so many points where it should have failed. And pulls it off. And Hashem says, you are rewarded. You behave properly, you're rewarded. However, Laman Aleph, V'yehu lo shamar laleches besoras Hashem Elokei Yisrael b'chol avavo. Yehu did not guard to go in the ways of the Torah of Hashem, the God of Israel, with all of his heart. Lo sar me'achatos Yeravam. Again, he did not go away from the sins of Yeravam, Ashachet Yes Yisrael, that he made Yisrael sin. Unfortunately, Yehu didn't quite make it, and he did fall down on the job. As much as he is not considered to be the same kind of Rasha as Achav, Chas V'Shalom, I mean, Achav was horrible, but Yehu still does not quite do it. And therefore, in those days, Hechel Hashem lekatzos b'Yisrael, Hashem began to cut away at the Jewish people. Vayakim Chazoyel b'chol gvul Yisrael, Chazoyel, the king of Aram, struck them on all their boundaries. Min ha'yardin mizrach ha'shemesh, from the Yardin on the east, Eis kol eretz ha'gilad, all of the land of the Gilad, which is in Jordan. Hagadi v'Ruveni v'Menashe, that's all in Jordan, the God Ruven and Menashe. Me'aroer ha'shal nachal Arnon, from Aroer, which is on the river Arnon, the Hagilad, the Abashan, those are all the areas of Aver Hayarden in Jordan. So the Chazal from Aram begins to cut away at the Jewish people in those areas. V'yeser divrei Yehu v'chol asher asa v'chol gvurasa, all the other things of Yehu and all that he did and all of his strengths. Haloim k'suvim al sefer divrei Yom al-Malchi Yisrael, they had written on the chronicles of the kings of Yisrael. Vayishkav Yehu im Abosav, Yehu died. Vayikvuru oso b'Shomron, they buried him in Shomron. Vayimloch Yehoachaz b'no tachtav, Yehoachaz, his son, rules in his place. Again, a confusing name since we have Achaziyahu, but That is who takes over. How long did Yehu rule over the Jewish people? 28 years in Shomron. That's a long reign. That is a long reign. 28 years is a long time. So he rules for 28 years and generally did well, but unfortunately did not quite make it. Chazal tell us, Bris Krusa Lisvasayim, which means there's a covenant that is cut with a person's lips. What you say matters. A person has to be careful with what comes out of their mouth. Words matter. And there's a covenant on words.
When he said he was going to serve, that's what he...
Chazal say he made a big mistake. That back in Pasuk, Yurches 18, Yehu says, Achav avas habal ma'at, Achav worship the Baal a little bit, Yehu yavdenu harbe, Yehu will worship him a lot. That was a mistake. One should not speak that way. That is inappropriate. One has to be careful with the words that come out of their mouth. And that, Chazal say, was a contributing factor for Yehu in the end, starting to slip away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he said words that were, even though he meant it to do the word of Hashem, he was trying to trick them, but he still should not have said it that strongly. That was too strong, too direct, and it caused him to begin to stumble. I've shared with you before, just share with you again, it's always worth repeating the story, that my Rabbi Tzvi Berkowitz in Baltimore, who is very, very careful with how he speaks. The strongest lesson I ever got in this idea of being careful with how one speaks is that when I was first married, living in Baltimore, so there was a local fundraiser for one of the institutions who came and asked me to donate some money to the institution, whatever, you know. It's not a huge donation, but he asked me for something. So I gave him something. So he said to me, these were the words, he said to me, can I be a chazer? Which means, can I be a pig? And ask for more. It was his banter. It was a shtick, right? It was a way of saying, you know, it was okay to throw. Remember, I'm a young kohl guy, right? So he said, can I be a chazer? And ask for a little bit more. So I wasn't sure if it was appropriate for me at my stage in Kollel, if I should give a little bit more. So I decided, I told him I want to discuss it with my Rebbe before I agree to give more. So I went to my Rebbe. So I was telling my Rebbe over what happened. So I was narrating the conversation to my Rebbe. So when I got up to the part, I said to him, so this fundraiser said to me, and I quoted him, could I be a chazer? So my Rebbe right away cut me off, which he never does. And he said, don't say that.
But he didn't know who that person was.
Doesn't matter. To me, he said, don't say that.
He said it. Rabbi Pransky shouldn't have said it.
He told me, don't say that. He told me, don't say that. So in my young and, you know, I said, what? Don't be a chazer?
Oh, yeah.
So he said, don't say that. So I was only quoting somebody else. And he told me, don't say that. You don't talk that way. You just don't talk that way. It's not an appropriate way to talk. It doesn't matter that you're quoting somebody else. It doesn't. You just don't say words like that. It's not an appropriate way to speak.
Words create realities. According to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you should never say the word D line. You should always say until completion, because you shouldn't say same thing.
Okay. So here the Chazal make the statement over here. Bris Krusa Lishinayim. That there's a covenant that is made with the lips. A person has to be careful with how they speak. This is an important lesson. No matter what we're going to come out over here, that's a very important lesson. Okay, so this concludes Yehu's taking over, destroying Achav, destroying the Baal, and taking over. But what we've already seen is that the line of David HaMelech is getting precariously thin with all the killings that are going on. And the next parak will have the near destruction of David's line. Just as Achav's line is totally wiped out, David's line is nearly totally wiped out. We're going to learn about that, and we'll learn about how finally, things turn themselves around. And once we get to that point, then we will spend a good long time bringing together all of the loose ends, blin eder, that we have. That'll be our time to do it. So we have need another week or two of finishing up more information before we're able to do that.
You said that there were three things he did. He cut off the two lines, so those were two things, and the third was getting rid of the ball.
Yeah.
But his line of kingship lasts for four, not three. So, like, I'm wondering
why four? I don't know. That's a good question. Why four? Maybe
he did three things.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know why four. That's a good point. I surely find some of us speak about that. Why four? I don't know.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.